We are back on Wednesday night, and we are going to set your radio a sparkle. It is time for Stories from Xfabula. The sparkle is sitting over here. Leah Delaney, the co-founder of Xfabula, is here with stories tonight. Wacky love. Do we have to give some kind of disclaimer or something before this?
Heck no. You know, you sign a waiver, people. Our stories, your stories are our stories.
They become public, right?
It's true. It's true.
Xfabula puts on story slams throughout the year, and what we do on Wednesday nights here on the radio is take some of these stories and let you listen to them and basically give folks an idea of what you guys do year-round.
Why, certainly. So we hold story slams. And what is a story slam, you might ask?
Well, what is a story slam?
I'm glad you asked. On a monthly basis, we go to some bar in Milwaukee or some location in the county, and we give you a theme, and we ask you, Milwaukeeans, to show up with your five-minute real, true, and personal story. Throw your name in the hat, and with any luck, you'll get picked to get up on stage to tell that story.
And the only caveat to the storytelling is it has to be totally extemporaneous. You can't go up there with a yellow legal pad and read from it.
No, you can't. No costumes. Please, put your costumes at home. Put your notes down and get prepared. Be prepared. You know, I think some of the best stories could either be like off the top of your head, and some of them are the ones that you've actually have your stock story, the ones that you tell at a party at like 2 a.m, those stories, or you know, at 8 a.m, whichever.
We may hear some of those 2 a.m. stories tonight.
Yeah, we
Wacky
may.
Love.
Indeed. Well, let's get into it.
Let's do that.
Okie doke. We are going to start off with a story from Linda Sislak. She told a story at Stonefly Brewery back in February of 2011, I believe, and where the theme was, it's a date. Here's her wacky love story.
It's 2:45 and it's Valentine's Day, and I have a face full of Novocaine. But I also have a date to meet. The Love Stinks group, this is the group of two-time losers, that means two divorces, for the annual Love Stinks drink at a local bar. Now I'm early, and when I arrive at the bar, the 20-something lingerie-clad Tootsie hostess tells me that all the tables and booths are reserved, those with the red roses on them. All right, okay. I'll belly up to the bar and I'll drink by myself on Valentine's Day and wait for my support group. The bartender, I order a martini, which I cannot drink because it's really, really salty, probably because 3/4 of my taste buds are paralyzed. Remember, I got the Novocaine going. The bartender, he's a nice young man. He takes it back, and he offers me the $2 champagne special, and would I like some soup? Soup! Why doesn't he just offer me a gin and ensure? I don't know. But I get the soup. And I realize that I am in a bar that's rapidly filling up with the youthful, with soap dripping out of the side of my mouth like I'm some kind of a stroke victim. Mercifully, my people have begun to arrive, and they order food, which I cannot eat, because I am thawing out, and it's starting to hurt really bad. And I remember that in my purse, I have Tylenol and codeine. So I pop 2 of those, and I wash it down with the $2 champagne. Now, is that the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th? Who cares? Who's counting? Because in 15 minutes, I am feeling no pain, and I don't need no effing Valentine. The conversation has turned to women's issues, as it does very often in these situations, and we find in our group that none of us can remember the name of the woman who was the lover of Alice B. Toklas. We all have a picture in our mind of a great Zoftig woman with breasts that drop like hanged men. And it's something literary and something from Paris. So I turn to the nice young man that's sitting next to me and I say, excuse me, can you tell me the name of the woman who is the lover of Alice B. Toklas? And he looks at me as though I have a great stain spreading across my front, but very politely answers, no. I drunk dial my own son in New York City, who is also in a bar, and being a good son, He Googles. Gertrude Steinmaier, don't drink and drive. Aha! Gertrude Stein! It becomes very important to me to know that someone in the assembled multitude knows who Gertrude Stein was. So I begin to wander from group to group asking, excuse me, can you tell me the significance of Gertrude Stein in 21st century literature and culture? And no one can. This hurts me. I have one foot in the grave, and when I die, no one will remember who Gertrude Stein is. So I make my way to the door, gathering my coat, and I raise my hand in salute. I'm not making this up, kids. I raise my hand, and I say, thank you for tolerating my intrusion onto your hormonally charged revels. I make my way home. I lie on my back step, looking up into the February night at the full moon through the branches of a bare maple tree. And the older couple next door told me later that they heard my plaintive refrain, Gertrude Stein, where are you now? Is Alice with you? Are you happy? Did you lose the weight? Happy Valentine's Day, you two crazy kids. Thanks for listening.
And that was Linda Sizlak with her Valentine story. I love that Gertrude Stein when she's screaming that in the microphone. It is hilarious. Got the whole crowd rolling.
Wacky love is our kind of theme for our ex-fabulous stories tonight on WUWM. Every Wednesday night at this time in the 9 o'clock hour, right after the news, Leah is here and we pull some stories from past events and give them another listen to. And it's one of the highlights of the week for me around here because it is something you guys do that nobody else has really done and you've been able to sustain it for a long time. So we congratulate you for that and keep it coming.
Thanks. And we're trying. We're trying with the help of you, Milwaukee. You know what? There's a way Milwaukee can help out, actually, sustain the stories. You want to hear about it? We have memberships. Oh, yes, we have memberships. And you might already have a membership. We offer a lot of different benefits to our ex-fabula members, one of which is a new series we're offering right now. It's called Secret Fabula. And we go out into different parts of Milwaukee, and we actually get stories from the location. Like, we were at Bryant's Cocktail Lounge in March. We actually have another one coming up. It's at the Pitch Project / Brewing Company. Michael Brenner just opened up his brewery in Milwaukee. It's a fantastic place. He's a big friend of Ex-Fabula and vice versa. And we're having another Secret Fabula at that location. And it's called Creative Process. So we're going to hear stories from Michael and a couple other people. You get a beer.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. It's like in the Walker's Point neighborhood, right?
You know it. Yeah. Yep. And it's a members exclusive only. I think that's redundant. Members exclusive.
Members exclusive. That was a clothing line, I think.
Yeah, it was.
You or know members it. Only. That's what it was. Yes.
So get on that. Go to exfabulate.com for that information.
Plus, one more question for you here,
yes, sir.
And that is a new season will be starting this fall. You're having a kickoff in September, which will be announced very shortly, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But are you taking input on themes for Story Slam for the next season?
Yes, we're starting up season 6. You can go to exfabula.com, and you can actually vote for your 3 favorite themes. We have a list on there. One of them is Oops. Another theme is Degrees of Separation. Another is Snowed Under. You had a really good one. We might add it to the list.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
Let Me Down. That
Let
was
me
good.
Down. I like that one.
Yeah,
I've got
yeah.
a story for that one.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've been saying you had stories for the past 5 years. We need to get you up on stage this year. It's
okay.
happening.
It's a deal.
Okay. All right. Let's stop yammering.
Let's do another wacky love story here.
Okay. This one is from, this was from a really interesting event. We used to, and we still do have a Gorilla Story Slams. We had one at the Milwaukee Art Museum. It was show and tell. So people had to come with an item and have a story related to it. And Lisa Gatewood showed up with a big box of love letters. Let's hear her story.
Wow. Okay.
I could describe my item with a lot of different qualifiers. It's a box of letters. It's a box of love letters. It's a box of love letters that were sent to a girl who was far too young to receive them, from a man who is far too old to be sending them. This is a box of love letters that I've collected over the past 14 years from my eighth grade guidance counselor. Eddie was a grad student when he came to my middle school to do his practicum project. I was his practicum project. I was troubled. My father hated me. He was writing a paper about what happens to young girls whose parents, namely their father, hates them. You know what happens to those kinds of kids? They fall in love with the first man who shows them the least bit of attention. And I loved Eddie so much. And he would record our weekly sessions on this old tape recorder. And I wondered if he played it back and he turned up the volume, would he be able to hear my heart beating out of my chest or my breath quickening every time he'd say my name? Halfway through the year, Eddie's father had a heart attack, and he had to leave the school, and he moved to North Carolina. And I cried all morning at school, and then I went to the nurse, and I said I had a stomach ache, and then I went home, and I like cried the whole afternoon. And the first letter came 1 year later, along with an admission that not only had his father had a heart attack and he had to leave because of that, but he was battling a painkiller addiction and had left sort of secretly to seek treatment. Which, of course, I was like, oh my God, he's such a rebel. Cool. That first letter was not a love letter. I don't think, like, the next 10 were probably love letters. They were just normal, like, hey, I'm in high school now. It's really cool. My friends have cars. I was standing next to somebody drinking a beer one time. It's awesome. And he was like, hey, I'm in treatment. and then one day I got this letter from him that told me that he had feelings for me. And I was 15 years old, and I hid the letter between my two mattresses, and I would read it obsessively over and over at night, and I would read it out loud to my girlfriends, and I'd show them pictures of him, and he had, like, really big muscles, and, you know, and so that's what started it. And he continued to write letters to me, and they all had these grand promises, like, I'm going to get through treatment, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you. And, of course, I was, like, 15, so that wasn't creepy at the time. Because I was like, cool, that's normal. That's what adults do. They come back, and they get 15-year-olds, and then they run away together. And so years passed, and Eddie would slip in and out of sobriety, and in and out of prison, and in and out of rehab. And he kept writing to me, and he kept promising me that he was going to come back for me. And in doing so, he sort of stunted me. I stayed that 14-year-old girl just sitting there and waiting. And if you know me, I certainly didn't wait alone. But I waited, you know, as much as a teenage girl can wait. I was 14 when I met Eddie. 14 years have passed. I am right now the same age that Eddie was when I met him. A few years ago, he relapsed again, and again, there was another letter professing his love for me. I should mention, he only writes to me when he's in prison, pretty much, which my mother is very proud of. And he said to me that he finally got it. You know, this was it. He could see now what his addiction had done, and he's been so stupid, and all this stuff he sacrificed. And this is definitely, for real this time, the last time that he will mess up like this. And that he's going to serve his sentence, which is so sexy. And then he's going to come back for me. And that was the moment that I realized that I had grown up. Because for the first time, I did not want him to come for me. And I had outgrown those childish ideals and fantasies that came with this sexy older man who was into me, which is so messed up. And I didn't want to have any part in it. So Eddie still writes to me. And He tells me that he's worried about me, and because I'm so sad all the time, and which I don't know how he knows that, but okay. And but a few months ago, I stopped writing back because that was just the only thing I could do. And instead, I started sending books to him. It became like this game that we would play called I'm Okay. So he writes me like a 7-page love letter, and I send him some Salinger. I'm okay. And then he writes to me, and he tells me about his mother's visit and how much he wishes that I could come visit. And I send him some C.S. Lewis. I'm okay. And even though I've outgrown it, and even though I don't want him to come, I cannot throw out this box of love letters. There are a lot of them, and I don't read them, but I keep them in my bedroom, and I'm sure if I ever do meet anybody, they will think that is weird, and I will tell them that there's something else, but don't look at them, and then that will seem weird. And but I know that every day when I go to my mailbox, I'm looking for a love letter from Eddie, and there is not a single day that I go to my mailbox and I don't think about that when I open it. Because as much as you realize that something is totally unhealthy and totally messed up, you can't help but have that 14-year-old girl inside you want that attention and want those letters. And every once in a while, one of them does come, about every 2 months right now, and I add it to the box. I only read them once now. And then I send them a book, because I'm okay. The end.
And that was Lisa Gatewood with her, you know, I guess wacky kind of
box of love letters.
Illicit love, yep. Love story.
Every Wednesday night, Leah Delaney is our guest from Ex Fabula, and we bring some of stories from the past to the radio, and it makes for good radio, it makes for good listening, sometimes it makes for a good laugh too. And story slams occur throughout the year, and when you're ready to put that information out there for the next season, where can we go find that?
Oh, please go to exfabula.com, and that's spelled E-X, F as in Frank, A, B as in boy, ULA.com.
You almost sang that. That's pretty good. Leah, thank you again.
Thank you.